Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Last time in this Football History Rewind segments, we talked about the game of football coming across the Atlantic Ocean to America and what America had done with it. So far, association football, rugby, were vying for the people's attention. Well, what came next is exciting, and we'll cover it in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen and to our history rewind. We're going through the early years of football, how it spawned into the game that it's turned into today. And so far, we have covered a lot of ancient history, the Greeks, the Romans, the British, what they did with the games of football. And like we said, the British had two forms of football, association football or soccer, and the School of Rugby's brand called rugby. Well, it'd be a travesty to not talk about America, but the blog failed to mention earlier the 1820s here in America. There was a group of students of Princeton. They began playing a game that was known then as balloon or balloon. And this game used an oval-shaped bladder-filled ball, and the rules transformed as time went along. At first, the players used their fists to advance the ball, and then their feet. And the game consisted mainly of one goal to advance the ball past for each opposing team. Now, in 1875, we're going to fast forward, go through what we talked about last time. The Harvard again challenged Yale to a game, only this time they agreed to play a combination of soccer and rugby rules, much like McGill had played in 1874. We talked about that famous Harvard-McGill games that weekend they had in 1874. Now, Yale agreed to these rules, but they included the use of a round ball rather than the oval one Harvard normally used. Now, Harvard won this game of agreements versus rival Yale in front of 2,000 fans, and the spectators and players from both schools loved the game and decided to make it an annual event. So the very first Harvard-Yale game, a game of football, a little bit different form of football than we're used to, started all the way back there in 1874. Now, according to author Timothy Brown, in his book, How Football Became Football, students from Harvard, Columbia, Yale, and Princeton, well, they all met in 1876 to define the rules of the game that they were all interested in playing against each other. The group, they called themselves the Intercollegiate Football Association, or IFA for short. It was one of those early meetings that Brown tells us that the critical decision of which the rules were to follow were discussed. Should they choose the association rules or the game of rugby? Well, the Harvard contingent put a most compelling case together, and they won out, and the rugby rules were the rules that they used predominantly. At the 1876 meeting, they put together 61 different rules to define the version of football. Most of them were the exact copy of the English Rugby Union, or ERU, set of guidelines. The How Football Became Football book once again tells us the differences of the IFA rules from the ERU. There's basically four different ones that author Timothy Brown tells us. He says that a referee, and along with two umpires, one supplied from each team, were to settle disputes rather than the team captains as in the ERU code. You know how that works out when you have the captains from each side trying to figure out the rules. Number two, touching the ball down in an opponent's goal was called a touchdown and not a try as in the ERU code. So that's where we get our term touchdown. The winner was the team that scored the highest number of touchdowns rather than the highest number of kicked goals. That's an interesting facet there. And the fourth one was there were standard field dimensions for IFA games rather than a maximum size playing surface that the English code had for their rugby. Now, Timothy Brown, the author, states that the rule of 1876 are confusing to us today, partly because the terminology of that era was so much different than the things they're called today. And he brought up, for instance, instead of what we call blocking, it was called interference, and some other facets like that. And there were so many revisions to the rules past the past 140 some odd years, too. He says that only three of the 61 original rules of 1876 are basically unchanged in the modern game of American football. And many of those rules tweaks were to come from one innovator of the game. And we're going to bring him in next, because during the next few years, a new figure entered the Yale football scene. Yeah, you guessed it. Walter Chauncey Camp. Now, Walter Camp arrived at the New Haven campus in 1876 and enjoyed the game that Yale and Harvard clubs were playing. Camp loved the sport so much that he joined the Yale team in 1877 and basically became its first head coach. That's what the captain's role really was. It was captain and coach. They really didn't have a formal coach. And as at the time, the label of captain served as that role. But Camp not only coached the team, he was a player too. He played on the varsity teams of Yale from 1877 to 1882, serving as the captain in 1878, 1879, again in 1881. Camp's leadership gave Yale 25 wins, one loss, and six ties over his playing career. Pretty substantial. He was a sure tackler, a great kicker, and an elusive runner. Very good head on his shoulders, very smart player. Camp attended the 1878 IFA rules meeting, and there may be a chance he might have been at the 1876 one as well, even though he didn't join the team until 1877, but again, we said he was interested in 1876, so he might have been there. Camp, though, as great of a player as he might have been, is not famous for his feats as a football athlete, but is the main innovator that changed rugby into American football. It started in 1882. After his playing career was over and his term of serving on the IFA Rule Committee started. The story of Camp the Innovator will be in the next installment of this great history expose, the History Rewind of Pigskin Dispatch, and Settling the Score in Football is the title of it. Right here on PigskinDispatch.com, your place for the good news about football. Now, we were able to give you this great in-depth look of so long ago in history by careful research. Using someone who was a contemporary of that period is the best source. So for that very special shout out to the main source of reference of information from this article, and we told you Timothy Brown and how football became football, but we really dug into the work of Park H. Davis and his 1911 book, Football, the American Collegiate Game. So you can find that online. That is in the public domain. If you want to read up on that, again, some of the terminology, like our friend Timothy Brown tells us, is a little odd to sort through, but is very interesting read in the perspective Park H. Davis gives us. And also Tim Brown's great book, too. He puts it into modern English, so it's crystal clear what they were meaning. So we thank these two great authors for sharing that and all the others that we have garnered this information from. And we will continue on our History Rewind, walking through the early history of American football in our next time here on the Pigskin Dispatch. Thanks for listening. Till tomorrow, have a great gridiron day.
This podcast is sponsored by Play Classic Sports Simulation Board Games, spelled with two A's, P-L-A-A-Y. Realistic board game recreations of professional football, hockey, baseball, NASCAR, golf, and more. They cover nine sports in all, with a 10th, basketball, coming in 2022. You can relive great sessions of the past, create what-if matchups from different eras, and much more. It's fun. So if you're into sports history, you should check them out. That's Play with two A's, P-L-A-A-Y, classic.com. And don't forget to use the code SHN at checkout and get 10% off your first order.
peeking up at the clock. The time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.